ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु, टेक्स्ट नंबर 33-35। फर्स्ट आई विल रीड द रिसाइट द टेक्स्ट विद नो पर्पस, 33 and 34, देन विल रिसाइट 35। इत्युक्तो परतम पुत्रम हिरण्यकशिपुरुष अंधीकृतात्मा सोत्संगान निरस्यतमहीतले। ट्रांसलेशन: आफ्टर प्रहलाद महाराज हैड स्पोकन इन दिस वे एंड बिकम साइलेंट, हिरण्यकशिपु ब्लाइंडेड बाय एंगर थ्रू हिम ऑफ हिज लैप एंड ऑन टू द ग्राउंड। आहा मर्षरुषा विष्ट कसाई भूतलोचन वद्यताम आश्वयम वद्यो निशार यतव नैरता। इंडिग्नेंट एंड एंग्री, हिज रेडिश आईज लाइक मोल्टन कॉपर, हिरण्यकशिपु सेड टू हिज सर्वेंट्स, ओ डीमंस, टेक दिस बॉय अवे फ्रॉम मी, ही डिजर्व्स टू बी किल्ड, किल हिम एज सून एज पॉसिबल। Text 35. Ayam me bratrha soyam hitva swan suhrdo damaha pitrvya hantu padavyo vishnur dasavadarchati। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: this boy Prahlad is the killer of my brother, for he has given up his family to engage in the devotional service of the enemy, Lord Vishnu, like a menial servant. Purport: Hiranyakashipu considered his son Prahlad Maharaj to be the killer of his brother because Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in the devotional service of Lord Vishnu. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj would be elevated to Sarupya liberation, and in that sense, he resembled Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Prahlad was to be killed by Hiranyakashipu. Devotees, Vaishnavas, attain the liberations of Sarupya, Salokya, Sarshti, and Samipya, whereas the Mayavadis are supposed to attain the liberation known as Sayujya. Sayujya Mukti, however, is not very secure, whereas Sarupya Mukti, Salokya Mukti, Sarshti Mukti and Samipya Mukti are most certain. Although the servants of Lord Vishnu, Narayan, in the Vaikuntha planets are equally situated with the Lord, the devotees there know very well that the Lord is the master, whereas they are servants. So the blessings of the assembled devotees will try to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam, try to repeat something from Srila Prabhupada's purports which were inspiring to me. So here, after Prahlad Maharaj spoke to Hiranyakashipu, now Hiranyakashipu is in an angry mood. In fact, few months back, I had approached now senior devotees for certain issues in the Sikh department. So that time the devotee said, "What is the policy on this matter, which we are supposed to follow?" Then he was telling that, like, whenever we have a meeting to discuss certain issues or problems, like, we should record the minutes of the meeting. For example, in any organization, like when they conduct a, say, management meeting or different department meeting, like, people discuss and then one person takes the minutes of the meeting. Because when the minutes of the meeting is lost, and after some time people forget, like, what is actually a decision made. So when the memory is lost, then the intelligence which go which went in making those decisions, they are also lost. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krodat bhavati sammoha, sammoha smriti vibramaha. Smriti bramshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nashat pranashyati. Krishna says that intelligence is lost when memory is lost. So when the memory is lost, you don't know what is the intelligence is also lost. So you don't know like what is to be done and what is not to be done. So when the memory is lost, memory will be lost. Like first of all, a person contemplates on the objects of the senses. From the contemplation, one develops lust, and when lust is unsatisfied, one becomes angry, and from anger, one becomes completely deluded. Or Krishna, Prabhupada translates the word sammoha as perfect delusion. So when one is completely deluded, then one's memory is lost. So here, even if you see in the social history, in fact historians say that a society which does not have which has lost its history has lost its intelligence. That is why historians say that a society should actually record the history of the society. Like what are the mistakes which they had done so that they don't commit those mistakes again. So here, Hiranyakashipu is completely angry after hearing the words of Prahlad Maharaj. And here Sukadeva Goswami explains that Hiranyakashipu is completely blinded by anger. And he threw Prahlad Maharaj off his lap and onto the ground. So when he is completely blinded by anger, demon does not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurasura. A demonic person does not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. So here Hiranyakashipu is about to actually kill his own son. In fact, he says, take this boy away from me. He deserves to be killed. Kill him as soon as possible. So he has completely lost his intelligence. He wants to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. So then, in the 35th verse, it's explained that this boy, Prahlad, is the killer of my brother, for he has given up his family to engage in the devotional service of the enemy, Lord Vishnu, like a menial servant. So Hiranyakashipu calls Prahlad Maharaj as the killer of the enemy, as the killer of his own brother. In fact, actually Lord Vishnu killed his brother Hiranyaksha, but Hiranyakashipu considers Prahlad Maharaj to be the killer of his brother. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, in other words, Prahlad Maharaj would be elevated to Sarupya liberation. So when a devotee goes to the spiritual world, like there are five kinds of liberation. One is the Sayujya Mukti, in which one actually merges into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. But the other four kinds of Mukti are personal liberation. Means one engages in the personal service of the Lord. The Sarupya Mukti is basically one gets the same bodily features as Lord Vishnu. So here, Prabhupada explained that Prahlad Maharaj would be elevated to a Sarupya liberation, and in that sense, he resembled a Lord Vishnu. So that is why Hiranyakashipu says, he is the killer of my brother, Hiranyaksha. So we can see, even sometimes devotees or even the Supreme Lord sometimes exhibit anger. But the anger of the Supreme Lord or the devotees is not on the same platform as the ordinary persons when they exhibit anger. Well, it is described in the first canto, when Ashwatthama was, when Arjuna actually captured Ashwatthama, Arjuna actually tied Ashwatthama like an animal, and then Arjuna brought Ashwatthama to the military camp. That time it is described, the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Krishna, looking on with his lotus eyes, spoke to angry Arjuna. So Prabhupada explains that it is described that both Arjuna and Krishna both were in angry mood. But Arjuna's eyes were described as like red hot, like molten copper. But Krishna was also in angry mood, but Krishna's eyes were described as having, Krishna was described to having lotus eyes. So Prabhupada explains that when the Lord becomes angry, his anger is different from the anger of a conditioned soul. conditioned soul, when he becomes angry, his anger is in the, is under the three modes of material nature. But when Krishna becomes angry, it is completely above the three modes of nature. In fact, Prabhupada says, Krishna's anger, it is only a sign of his bent of mind towards the cause of his devotee, because that is his transcendental nature. In fact, when Krishna shows his anger to on some person, even the object of anger is blessed. So here, Hiranyakashipu's eyes were also described to be having like molten copper. So his anger is completely in the modes of material nature. So then, but like even when sometimes Prabhupada becomes angry, like once when Prabhupada was in the installation of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra deities in the Amsterdam temple, like there was so much of mess, like devotees were very new, so they had made an altar. That altar was actually small to fit the deities. So later on they had to break the part of the altar and then take it away. The reporters who had come, they thought it is a part of the ceremony, and then they were shooting that also. And then like Prabhupada wanted fruits, but devotees had cut the fruits. They thought that Prabhupada wants to serve fruit salad to all the devotees. So Prabhupada was so much angry. That was even recorded by even the reporters. They were also bewildered. And after the whole ceremony, Prabhupada asked for some prasad. And the whole prasad was over. Then Prabhupada said, I want some mahaprasad, which is directly offered to the deities. So then the devotees brought the mahaprasad, the entire plate. And then when they were bringing the mahaprasad in the car, the whole prasad fell in the, there was a sudden break and the whole prasad fell inside the car. Then when Prabhupada asked for prasad, there was no prasad available. Then the devotee said, actually the mahaprasad fell inside the car. Prabhupada said, go and pick that mahaprasad, then bring it to us. So Prabhupada gives special importance to mahaprasad also. But after the, we can see like Prabhupada was so angry, but after the whole incident was over, some devotees, when the temple president came to meet Prabhupada, Prabhupada acted in such a way that he was not at all affected by the anger. Normally when we become angry, like that passionate, this thing, that carries on for some more time. It becomes some time for us to calm down. But Prabhupada was angry at certain time, and immediately after that was completely in a loving mode to the devotees. So that is the anger of the pure devotees and the Supreme Lord. So and then we see why this, among these five kinds of liberation, the four kinds of liberations are basically personal liberation, but the Sayujya Mukti is the impersonal liberation. But devotees of the Lord, they want only the four kinds of personal liberation. Why do they want only the four kinds of personal liberation? Because there is opportunity for service only when one gets these four kinds of personal liberation. But when one gets a Sayujya Mukti, when one merges into the personality of God and impersonal Brahma Jyoti, then there is no opportunity for service. In fact, Prabhupada explains in a purport, just like a husband and wife, when they are together, although there may be so many anxieties and responsibilities involved, they are more happy to be together than to be separated. Similarly, a devotee is more happy to be engaged in the service of the Lord, although there may be anxieties and responsibilities, than to be without having any service. That is why, like Prabhupada, in fact, in most of the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada would condemn about the impersonal, he would always emphasize that the personality of Godhead is superior to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. The personality of Godhead is the highest realization in realizing the absolute truth. In fact, Gajendra, in one of his prayers when he offers to the Supreme Lord, he says, Savaina Deva Suramartya Diryan Nastrina Sandhu Na Pumana Jantu Nayam Gunakarma Nasanna Chasan Nisheda Shesha Jayata Dashesha. Gajendra says, the Supreme Lord is not a demigod, he is not a demon, Suramartya Tiryan, he is not a human being, nor is he an animal, and he is not a Stree, he's not a stree, or he's not a neuter, or he's not a manifestant, or he's not a not manifestation. And then he says, like, he is actually the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this. The impersonalists, they actually follow this process of neti, neti. They say, okay, the absolute truth is not this, he's not this, he's not this. But Gajendra says, the Supreme Lord is the last word in the discrimination, in the process of trying to understand the absolute truth by like saying not this, he, oh, he's not this, he's not this. So the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead is the highest realization in the realization of the absolute truth. So, in fact, in one of the purports in the Bhagavatam, it's explained that a living entity is actually an eternal servant of God. But actually he has this knowledge with him. But whimsically, he thinks that he is God, and he has actually, that he has lost this knowledge because he has come into Maya. But when he again becomes freed from Maya, then he will again come to the establish in his original position as that he is God. Prabhupada says, actually, there is no meaning in this conception. Because if you say, okay, you are God, but temporarily you have come under the influence of Maya, then actually Maya is greater than God. If you are God, then how can you come under the influence of Maya? It is just like saying that a person whose head has been cut off sees that his head has been cut off. Actually, there is no meaning in this statement. Because when a person's head is cut off, He has lost the power to see. How can he see that his head has been cut off? So similarly, when a person says that, oh, I am God, but I come under the influence of Maya, actually there is no meaning to this word. So that is why when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Rupa Goswami, the first teaching which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu imparted is that Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nitya Das. That a living entity is eternal servant of God. In fact, people in this world, they have got different identities. But if a person can simply develop this one particular identity, that I am eternal servant of Krishna, then all one's material miseries can be completely vanquished. In one purport in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Madhvacharya explains the process by which the material miseries arise. He explains that when a demoniac person identifies himself with the gross material body, then he undergoes miseries of constant drowsiness and unquenchable sexual desires that burn all mental peace and serenity to ashes. And when a person identifies himself with the prana or the life here, then he suffers from hunger. And when a person identifies himself with the material mind, he suffers from panic, fear and hankering that ends in disappointment. Or when a person identifies with his intelligence, he suffers profound existential bitterness and frustration deep within the heart. Like sometimes we see some persons play chess, the match goes on for whole day and the next day they again continue the match. Like, we see sometimes such players, they go into great depression. They just identify themselves with the intelligence. And sometimes people just sit in front of the computers. They try to, they get so much involved in the material intelligence. And after some time, they go through all these symptoms. And when a person identifies himself with the false ego, he actually feels inferiority complex. He thinks that I am so low. Or when a person identifies himself with the process of consciousness, then he is haunted by the memories of past. Like, we are not judge in others' lives, but we can see in our own lives also, sometimes we also go through some of these miseries. Sometimes we are haunted by our past memories, memories of the parents, or different things. This is all because of the wrong identification which we actually have in our world. So, simply if one somehow develops this one particular identity that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, then one will actually not be affected by any of the material miseries. So this particular attitude of being servant of Krishna, like we can see from the Srimad Bhagavatam how the different devotees exhibited this attitude of being the servant of the Lord in such a wonderful ways. Like two of the rare things in this world is, a person is highly intelligent, normally he does not have a, like he's egoistic, he may not have a service attitude. But like sometimes, like recently one devotee was saying that, now the security guard in the temple, he was surprised. He was asking like, why this particular devotee is sweeping the floor? Like that, he was surprised. So sometimes when a devotee is like, people of this world, they get surprised when somebody is highly intelligent when he engages in suppose apparently menial service. But this particular principle is even exhibited by great devotees. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, Parishit Maharaj asks a question to Shukdev Goswami. He says, Pramanam andakoshasya bahya bantara bedata mahatam chanu charitam varnashrama vinishchaya. Parishit Maharaj says, I want to know about the outer and inner coverings of the universe. Like normally people think that when a person takes to Krishna consciousness, he is actually sentimental in nature. He is not so much intelligent, he does not want to know so many things. But here, Parishit Maharaj wants to know the coverings of the universe, outer and inner coverings of the universe. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, those who are of the opinion that the devotees of the Lord are just satisfied with mere sentiments can find in the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit good lessons as to how inquisitive a pure devotee is to know things in their true perfection. So here, Parishit Maharaj is so much inquisitive. But at the same time, it is just not inquisitive to know about the coverings of the universe. He also wants to know about the character of the great devotees. Mahatam chanu charitam. So when a person wants to know about the glories of the devotees, that means he wants to serve the devotees. So Parishit Maharaj exhibited both these characters, intelligence and also service attitude. That is why it is said like, a service and study makes one steady in Krishna, makes one steady in Krishna consciousness. When a person studies Prabhupada's books and also engages in practical service, one becomes steady. And another rare thing which we see in this world is, when a person is highly wealthy or when he has a great power, usually such a person is not inclined to do simple activities, simple services. But we find this quality in the character of Lakshmiji. It is explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Shri Rupini Kvanayati Charanaravindam Leelam Bhujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha Samlakshyate Svatika Kudya Upeta Hemni Sammarja Diva Yadanugrahaina Yatna. So it is explained, in the Vaikuntha planets, the ladies in the Vaikuntha planets, although they were so beautiful and they were actually playing with lotuses, carrying them in their hands, but still, they are sometimes seen sweeping the marble walls, which are bedecked at intervals with golden borders, in order to receive the grace of the Supreme Personality of God. So, in the Vaikuntha planets, all the walls are actually made with marble and gold. So, there is hardly any dust in those walls. But still, Lakshmijis, the goddess of fortune, not only the goddess of fortune, but even the wives of the devotees of the Lord, they were actually engaged in cleaning the walls, the floors of the Vaikuntha planets. Because, why they want to do? Because they are eager to achieve the grace of the Lord by doing so. So we can see that, like, even cleaning service is present even in the spiritual world. Like, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, he actually describes this word mukta dosha. Mukta dosha means the goddess of fortune, they were actually freed from all the faults. Prabhupada explains that in the material world, people actually find fault with Lakshmi because Lakshmi does not stay at a one place permanently. She is called a Chanchala. She moves from one place to another place. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the goddess of fortune are fixed in the service of the Lord. Because even the goddess of fortune needs the Lord's grace in order to be happy. Yet in the material world, even Lord Brahma and the other demigods, they seek the favor of goddess of fortune. So this is the another rare thing which we see in the character of the devotees. Although they are so wealthy that others are actually seeking their favor, but still they are engaged in apparent menial service. And then another aspect of the service attitude exhibited by the devotees, we find in the example of Uddhava. It is explained that when Vidura meets Uddhava, Vidura asked so many questions to Uddhava. Vidura asked about Lord Krishna, and he also asked about the welfare of the Yadus and about the different relatives of Lord Krishna. So there it is explained, Sakatam sevaya tasya kalena jarasam gata prishto vartam pratibruyad bartupadav anusmaran. So it is explained, Uddhava served the Supreme Lord from childhood to right from his childhood. He continuously served the Supreme Lord, and in his old age, that attitude of service never slackened. Especially, at least I can speak for myself, we can see, like, as the years progress, usually we become a little tired of the service, our service attitude reduces. But at least we can know from this reading Srimad Bhagavatam, at least we can know what should be our aspiration, how we lack in our attitude. Here it is explained that Uddhava's service attitude never slackened even in his old age. So how do we know that? Because when Vidura asked questions about Lord Krishna, he immediately went into ecstasy. He remembered all about the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, the material world, we find this concept of retirement. Like after 57 years, after 60 years, like one is given retirement, or somebody takes voluntary retirement. But in the spiritual world, the spiritual platform, there is actually no retirement in the service of the Supreme Lord. Somebody may wonder, how can a devotee be not tired of rendering service to the Lord? So Prabhupada explains that service on the bodily plane dwindles as the body grows older, but the spirit is never old. So, and therefore, on the spiritual plane, the service is never tiresome. So when a person renders service on the spiritual platform, in proper consciousness, so he never becomes tired of rendering service, even though his age grows old. In fact, we see this quality exhibited in Srila Prabhupada also. Like, exactly, don't remember the context, but once, some devotees were asking Prabhupada about, like, when we should go to Vrindavan and take retirement from our service, preaching services. Prabhupada was explaining to the effect, after you make so many disciples, after you establish so many temples, then maybe you can go and you can go on to Vrindavan and do your bhajan. But as far as I am concerned, I will continue to preach. In fact, we see Srila Prabhupada, right till his last moment, he was actually trying to translate the Bhakti, he was translating and giving purpose to Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, in order to honor Srila Prabhupada, BBT published a separate book containing the translation and purpose of the 10th canto, 13th chapter. That how a person, like, who is completely on the platform of death, still who can give such wonderful philosophy and purports. If you read the 10th canto, 13th chapter, Prabhupada's purports are, we can never imagine how can a person who is actually on the platform of death, how can he give such purports? So Prabhupada was never tired of his service to the Supreme Lord. In fact, another aspect of the service which we see in the Vaikuntha planets, which Prabhupada also explains here, that in the Vaikuntha planets, the devotees know that the Lord is a master, whereas they are servants. So the speciality of the Vaikuntha planets was, there is so much a facility for sense gratification, but still their devotees are engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. It's explained, Vaimanika salalana charitani shashvat gayanti yatra shamala kshapanani bartu antarjalenu vikasat madumadavinam gandena kandita diyo panilam kshipanta. So it is explained, in the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets, they travel in different airplanes which are actually made with very precious gems and emeralds, etc. And what do? They eternally sing the glories and character and activities of the Supreme Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. And while singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. So in the Vaikuntha planets, they were like very fragrant Madhavi flowers. In Bombay, practically none of the flowers actually give any fragrance. But in Vaikuntha planets, the flowers are so fragrant that the air, the breeze which carries the fragrance of those flowers, it is so pleasing to smell. But the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets, they are so much absorbed in chanting the glories of the Lord that they are not disturbed by such a nice breeze while they are chanting the Lord's glories. So Prabhupada explains that the inhabitants of Vaikuntha give first preference to the service of the Lord and not to their own sense gratification. In fact, another of the verses in the activities of the Vaikuntha planets, it is described that the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets, they travel in airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold. And although they are crowded by their consorts who have got very beautiful features, but still they cannot be stimulated to passion by their mirth and beautiful smiles. So the consorts of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets, they are so beautiful, they have got so much beautiful features, but still the residents of Vaikuntha planets, they are not affected by the sex desire. So we can see this character even in the character of Srila Prabhupada. One devotee told Prabhupada, now you should actually go to India because now it is summer season, lot of nice mangoes will be available. But Prabhupada said, preaching Krishna consciousness is sweeter than the sweetest mango. In another instance, Prabhupada said that Krishna tested me twice, that once by taking away everything from me, and another time by giving everything to me. And once when Prabhupada was going in Amritsar, that time so many people were bowing down to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada told one of his devotees that, do you know why these people bow down to me? So Prabhupada said, because actually I have conquered lust, I have no sex desire, that's why these people bow down to me. In another instance, when Prabhupada was going in a taxi, that time the taxi driver asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, I heard that so many other gurus perform so many magic, like they bring some ashes out of nowhere, and they bring some apple from nowhere. Can you also perform such magic? Prabhupada said, I can do much more than that. Then the person asked, like, what can you perform? So Prabhupada said, I can be in a room filled with naked women, but still nothing will happen to me. So Prabhupada also was completely free from lust, like the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets. And we see this quality of serving the devotees or service attitude even in the character of Lord Vishnu himself. In fact, Lord Vishnu tells to the four Kumaras, he says that my lotus feet has become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all the sinful reactions of a person who takes shelter, because I have got this qualification of vanquishing the sins of anyone who takes shelter of my lotus feet, because I serve my devotees, because of that I get these qualifications. to serve, vanquish the sinful reactions of the conditioned souls. Not only that, because of I have the attitude of serving my devotees, that even Lakshmiji does not leave me. Although people of this world, they are looking for Lakshmi's favor. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, we hear that when a person serves the Supreme Lord, then he automatically gets all the good qualities of the Lord. But the Supreme Lord feels that by serving my devotees, actually I get the qualities, I get the qualification to vanquish the sins of the conditioned souls. And not only that, even the Lakshmiji does not leave me because I have this quality of affection towards my devotees. So we see this quality in the Lord Vishnu when he actually comes to meet the four Kumaras. When the four Kumaras actually curse the Jay and Vijay, as soon as Lord Vishnu comes to know that Jay and Vijay are cursed by the four Kumaras, Lord Vishnu immediately rushes to the place. So it is explained that Lord Vishnu did not actually use Garuda carrier because he was actually afraid that maybe that my associate Jay and Vijay, maybe they will be vanquished by the anger of four Kumaras. So I must go immediately to save my associates. So although Garuda was available to carry Lord Vishnu, he did not use Lord Garuda, but he came on his foot very fast. And not only that, he came on his foot, he thought that these four Kumaras, actually they became angry towards Jay and Vijay because they have been prevented to enter Vaikuntha planets. After all, they only had the desire to see my lotus feet. So because of that they became angry. So let me go personally on my foot and let me pacify the four Kumaras by showing the darshan of my lotus feet. Like that Lord Vishnu was feeling. And then, like this, Lord Vishnu wanted to serve the four Kumaras. And serve the Jay and Vijay. And we see this attitude in Srila Prabhupada also. In one of the purports in the fourth canto, Prabhupada explains that when one of my devotees becomes a pure devotee, maybe I will also go back to Godhead because Lord Krishna will feel, okay, because I am connected to my pure devotee, because of that, maybe Krishna will also take me back to Godhead. And once when some devotees told Prabhupada was talking about 12 Mahajans. So then devotees told Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. So Prabhupada said, you are the 14th Mahajan. So Prabhupada was also giving credit to his own devotees. And another instance in the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam, we see this example of serving the orders of the superior authorities in the character of Priyavrat Maharaj. So in the Vedic social system, we have this four social orders and four spiritual orders. The four spiritual orders are Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So in the Vedic system, normally a person takes the Brahmachari training from the age of 5 to 25 years. And then after taking the training, then he decides according to his nature, that which will be suitable for practice of Krishna consciousness, to continue in the Brahmachari ashram or in the Grahastha ashram. So depending on his nature, he decides whether to continue the Brahmachari ashram or he gets married. But in the Kali Yuga, like the whole system is topsy-turvy. We come to know about such a system only at 25 years. Like sometimes a person goes through this, decides to become Brahmachari, and then later on, he undergoes the training and realizes maybe I'm not so much suited in this ashram, and then he takes to Grahastha ashram. But he ultimately wants to continue Krishna consciousness. So, like sometimes people are wondering like why a person has changed his ashram from Brahmachari ashram to Grahastha ashram. But because people are not aware of the system. But in the Vedic system, Vedic culture, the system was proper because people would get the training from 5 to 25 years. So that time, if a person changes from Brahmachari ashram to Grahastha ashram, it should not be such a surprise for the persons. Because that is the routine procedure. But in the Kali Yuga, we get surprised. But here in the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam, Parishit Maharaj apparently exhibits a surprise. about such a devotee who changed from Brahmacharya ashram to Grihastha ashram. He says, he asked the question about Priyavrat Maharaj. But actually it is not a simple question, that he just wants to know why he became a Grihastha. In fact, Parishit Maharaj says, Priyavrato Bhagavata Atma Rama Katha Mune Grihe Aramata Yanmula Karma Bandha Parabhava. So here Parishit Maharaj uses the word Bhagavata Atma Rama. Parishit Maharaj says, Priyavrat Maharaj is on the topmost platform of self-realization. He is on the platform of Bhagavata Atma Rama. He is completely satisfied in the service of the Lord. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, there are different kinds of satisfaction one experiences in the material world. The karmis are satisfied just performing fruitive activities. And jnanis are satisfied simply to merge into the effulgence of Brahman. So Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, that out of thousands of people, one hardly endeavors for liberation. And out of those thousands, one hardly gets liberation. So when a person gets liberation, he becomes liberated, he becomes self-satisfied, he becomes liberated from all the material anxieties. But then Prabhupada says that although one may achieve liberation from the anxieties of material existence and become self-satisfied, even that satisfaction, however, is not the ultimate satisfaction. And what is the ultimate satisfaction? The ultimate satisfaction is when a person is completely satisfied in the service of the Supreme Lord. So here Parishit Maharaj is saying that Priyavrat Maharaj is on the platform of that ultimate satisfaction of being satisfied in the service of the Supreme Lord. Then how can such a person enter into family affairs? How can he get attached to the family affairs? So in answer to this question, we actually observe the service attitude of Priyavrat Maharaj. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that there are two kinds of impediment one experiences in the process of devotional service. One is when a person may be impeded by committing an offense to a Vaishnava. When a person commits an offense to Vaishnava, he is impeded in his devotional service. And another impediment is when the Lord or his representative, he himself interferes in the service, in the devotional service of the devotee. So in this case, Priyavrat Maharaj, Lord Brahma, the representative of the Lord, he himself impeded in the devotional service of Priyavrat Maharaj. So Priyavrat Maharaj actually took the responsibility of ruling the world, and in turn he married because he wanted to serve the desire of the Lord Brahma or desire of the Supreme Lord. So in this way we can observe this attitude of serving the devotee even in the character of Priyavrat Maharaj. And then we have this four devotees have four kind of relationship with the Supreme Lord. One of the relationship is Vatsalya. The devotees want Krishna to be their son. But we never hear of devotees aspiring Krishna to be their father. Why do the devotees not want Krishna to be their father? Because when a Krishna is their son, they get an opportunity to serve the Lord. When we have Krishna as the father, Krishna will be serving us. So that is why devotees want Krishna to be their son. So when Vasudev and Devaki, when they were released from the prison, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is explaining that Vasudev and Devaki, actually, right from the beginning, they went through so many miseries. Like, first of all, their six children were killed by Kamsa. And then when Krishna was born, Krishna told, "You take me to Vrindavan." So they could not actually reciprocate with Lord Krishna. And then all the while, they continued to be in prison. And when they were in the prison, they only heard news of Krishna and Balram being attacked by so many demons. So they actually went through so many fears, so many anxieties. And they were released from the prison just before Krishna and Balram came to Mathura. So practically for whole the time, they actually continued to be in prison. And then when Krishna and Balram came to Mathura, and then when they killed Kamsa, when they were reunited with Krishna and Balram, one of the first thing which Vasudev and Devaki did is they actually sent Krishna and Balram to the ashram of Sandipani Muni to get training. Like, you can imagine, like, sometimes when students study in a different place, when they stay in a hostel, Like whenever they call their parents, they will call, like, when are you coming home? So when is your vacation? So please stay for the whole month of the vacation. So the parents have their attachment towards the son. But here Vasudeva and Devaki, they actually prefer to, their qualities, they prefer to serve the Supreme Lord. Although they were actually separated from Krishna and Balaram, they never failed in their service to Krishna and Balaram by giving them proper training, sending to Sandeepani Muni's ashram. And another quality of service is, service should be pleasing to the person, it should not be embarrassing to the person. We find this quality in the character of Kunti Maharani. And Kunti Maharani offers prayers. She says, Namah Pankaja Nabhaya Namah Pankaja Malini. Namah Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangre. Usually when a person takes darshan of the Lord, he actually starts taking the darshan of the Lord, starting from the lotus feet and then he goes to the lotus face. But here Kunti Maharani starts addressing the Lord, from his navel. Because Kunti Maharani is in a position of, she is an aunt of the Supreme Lord. So she did not want to embarrass Krishna by addressing Krishna from his lotus feet. And we also see this quality when Krishna tried to serve Bhishma Dev. When Krishna actually, it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Bhishma Dev was lying in the battlefield, Krishna went along with the Pandavas. Normally when a sick person is there, like, you would not go to a sick person and then you would not boast your opulences to the sick person. You would not tell that maybe, so I have eaten such and such nice foodstuffs like that. Here, Bhishma Dev was practically in the verge of death. But here, Krishna took Pandavas in their aristocratic manner. The Pandavas were dressed in such fine dresses and they went in a great parade. Krishna took them in that way. They did not want to boast their prowess to the Bhishma Dev, because Bhishma Dev was practically, whole of his lifetime he was ruling the, like, assisting the Kauravas. He was in such a great position. Now he's in a pathetic situation. Nobody would want to, like, boast himself to a sick person. So, like, when a person dies, chief minister dies, like, you also have the ceremony, like, people have, like, black clothes, black flag, they host the black flag, etc. But here, Krishna took Pandavas in their aristocratic manner. Why did they take them in that manner? Because he knew that Bhishma Dev would be pleased to see them in their dress. Because the whole life, Bhishma Dev was thinking that, when will actually Pandavas get their kingdom? So Krishna wanted to please Bhishma Dev by taking them in that manner. Finally, I'll just take 5 minutes and just finish this class. It is explained that another quality in the service is, like, sometimes there are certain services which are difficult to execute. For example, in an organization, almost every person will have to do some management. The management, one will have to implement certain rules and regulations. And a person who does not follow the rules and regulations will have to give punishment, etc. But how does a devotee, when he is given to do that service, how does a devotee actually execute that service? If we find this example in the character of Lord Brahma. So Brahma, before he started creation, first he had to create 5 kinds of nescience. He had to create self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, sense of false ownership, etc. So, but after doing these activities, what was Brahma's feeling? It is explained, seeing such a misleading creation as a sinful task, Brahma did not feel pleasure in that activity, and therefore he purified himself by meditation on the personality of God. So this service is inevitable. It had to be done. Because the living entity, he wants to enjoy independently from Krishna. So he had to be given an opportunity to exercise his free will. So for that, Brahma had to create these conditions of false ownership, self-deception, etc. So, but after doing that service, a devotee does not feel pleasure in that activity. So Prabhupada explains that as an obedient servitor of the Lord, Brahma creates all this as a matter of necessity, but he is not happy in doing so, because a devotee of the Lord naturally does not like to see anyone falling down from his real position. As well, like, sometime, a few days back, one devotee confiscated my book. He came and told, but he was feeling odd, and then he said, like, Sorry, I have to confiscate. That's why sometimes devotees have to do these kind of activities, but still they are not happy in doing so. Another quality we see is that sometimes when executing a service, that a devotee may be chastised by another devotee because by certain mistake. But how a devotee should actually act upon that in that situation? So we see this example in Lord Vishnu speaking to the four Kumaras. So Lord Vishnu says, when a Brahmana or a devotee chastises another devotee, if the person who is chastised, if he actually worships that devotee with lotus-like face and tries to pacify the devotee, then such a devotee is very dear to me. In fact, Prabhupada uses the word used is Padma Vaktra. Padma Vaktra means lotus face. So Prabhupada explains that it is specifically said that to pacify the Brahmanas, one's face should be lotus-like. A lotus-like face is exhibited when one is adorned with love and affection. Of course, it is easy to speak, but it's very difficult to practice. But at least we can see what should be our we can understand what should be our aspiration in the spiritual life. And then finally, another quality in service is one is supposed to do one should consider what is the need of the hour, and one should not consider what I want to do. We see this example in the quality of Vidura. And Vidura heard from Uddhava that before Krishna departed from this world, Krishna spoke about this, the supreme transcendental position, Paramam Sitim. In fact, Prabhupada explained that Krishna spoke about knowledge which is even more confidential than the knowledge which he even spoke to Lord Brahma when he spoke Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So when Vidura heard this from Uddhava, Vidura asked Uddhava, please actually narrate that knowledge. But then Uddhava said, you please hear from Maitreya Rishi. He did not want to, he wanted to observe the etiquette. But then when Vidura went to Maitreya Rishi, we would expect that Vidura would actually ask Maitreya Rishi about that particular question, that I want to know about the supreme transcendental position of the Lord. But then Vidura asks the question, please tell me that in this world, people are engaged in so many fruitive activities. They're trying to find satisfaction by engaging in so many fruitive activities. On the other hand, one is simply aggravated by such activities. So please give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. So Vidura was feeling awkward. He did not want to ask about that supreme confidential knowledge. In fact, he wanted to ask about certain questions which will be beneficial for the common man. He wanted to ask about what is actually needed for the common man. So we see this quality in Srila Prabhupada also. And Prabhupada actually, whenever he would speak lectures, although he knows about so many commentaries of the Vaishnava Acharyas, he would always speak about basic philosophy. Normally when a person knows something, he wants to actually give that knowledge. But Prabhupada considered what is actually need of the person, and he did not consider what I want to speak. So that's the quality of Prabhupada. Even in Bhagavad Gita, when he wrote books, Bhagavad Gita, like so many Vaishnava Acharyas, they gave so many esoteric points in certain verses of Bhagavad Gita, but Prabhupada did not write those points in his translation. Because Prabhupada considered, he was mainly interested in what is actually needed for the people of this age. Similarly, like sometimes we may want to read so many books, but what we need the most is to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And then finally, we can see at the end, like once Parishit Maharaj asked the question that after Krishna disappeared from this planet, all the Yadus also went back to Godhead, but Uddhava actually remained in this planet. Why did actually Uddhava remain in this world? So there, in answer to that, Shukadeva Goswami explains that Uddhava actually, Krishna gave instruction to Uddhava that you should actually give your association to the sages of Badrikashram. And I was not able to give my association, so you should give your association to them. So it is, Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna ordered Uddhava to go to Badrikashram after departure. And Uddhava carried out the order of the Lord more faithfully than going back to Godhead. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, in fact, he even excelled Uddhava, because Prabhupada was in the spiritual world in Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan to execute the order of the Supreme Lord. So we can see in this way, That is why Srila Prabhupada's position is unique in the history of Vaishnava culture. So I'm extremely sorry for going beyond the time. Please forgive me if whatever I've spoken, if it had sounded instructive, if it had sounded an instructive tone, I just try to share whatever was inspiring from Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.